I thought for a moment about using Genesis 6:4 and 1 Kings 17:4 as a text tonight. Genesis 6:4 says there were giants in the earth, and 1 Kings 17:4 says, I have commanded the ravens. And for the benefit of Judy and a few others, the giants and the ravens are playing in the Super Bowl beginning about now. So I could have been scriptural and talked about the giants and the ravens, but let's leave the giants and the ravens to what is happening and what you will be able to see if you're interested. Try to get you out at least by 6:15. One of the greatest blessings that we have and sometimes take for granted is the opportunity to worship. I'm sure that there are those in some parts of the world tonight who appreciate that statement even more than you and I do. I've never known anything except the freedom to worship God all of my life. I've never known anything except to go to assemblies like this and be able to worship God. It may be because of that that there is a tendency on my part, and perhaps you would share with me in this, to take the opportunity to worship for granted. It seems in the last few years, and I guess to some extent this has always been true, that there are those who are making statements that worship is becoming something that is boring to me. When I leave a worship service, I feel like that I'm bored. I really am not uplifted. And that's a problem. And let me pause right at this point to suggest that I realize full well that those of us who preach or lead in a worship service in any way can contribute to that problem. And I would advise all of us preachers, including myself, to always be looking at ways to make our worship services more meaningful within the boundary of God's Word. But you know, as I think about this and as I read what is being written today and what is being reported in other areas, I'm convinced that part of the problem may be in our own hearts when we go to worship God. That part of the problem that causes us to leave our worship services maybe feeling that it was not that helpful, maybe during the worship service being a little bit bored at what is taking place, may be a problem on the part of the worshiper. I want you to listen as I read a rather lengthy passage of Scripture. Back in the book of Malachi, Old Testament, chapter 1, I'm beginning at 6. God is speaking. He says, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And what ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your person? Saith the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do they kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Now notice this next statement. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it? And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, and you brought an offering. Should I accept this at your hand, saith the Lord? Now, there's no question that the majority of what he's talking about there has to do with what they were bringing, and especially they're bringing the lame and that was less than the best. But there's one statement there in verse 13 that just catches my attention as I read it. He said, you said, now he's talking about their worship to him, you said, behold, what a weariness it is. What a weariness it is. Does worship become a weariness to us? Does it become something that is boring? Someone said that there was the comment that people are worshiping more and enjoying it less. Is there a weariness in our thinking relative to worship? If worship does become boring, what's the cause of it? Let me just share with you a few ideas tonight that I think may be worth our consideration, each one of us looking at it in a personal way. Is it possible that if we are weary when we come to worship, that we've allowed ourselves to come to the point of looking for entertainment instead of worshiping God? It seems that there is a trend. I've even heard some people say, if we don't make our worship services entertaining, the people are not going to come. Now, I think you know that I enjoy a good laugh as much as anyone. And if there's anyone here tonight who knows more jokes than I do, I want to meet you and learn yours. I believe God intended for us to laugh and to be happy. But folks, he did not intend for our worship to him to be something that is necessarily entertainment. Enjoy, we ought to. There may be some things that will maybe cause us to think about something that is funny or laugh. But are we getting to the point that we are looking for entertainment when we come to a worship service? Jesus, in answering the devil, said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I wonder sometimes if we are allowing ourselves to sing that song, There Is a God, and that song, How Great Thou Art, two of the most beautiful songs that we have, and songs that seemingly almost shake this building when we sing them, and sing them without really realizing how awesome and how great God is, and that our purpose, not only in a service such as this, but in life itself, is to pay respect to God and to praise his name. Are we allowing ourselves in our time to be more interested in looking for entertainment than we are worshiping God? A second thought may be that we are bored and we are weary when we come to worship God because we come out of a sense of duty instead of a sense of opportunity. I'll tell you something. I don't believe I would enjoy the meals that my wife cooks for me if I thought she only cooked them out of a sense of duty. And I do not believe that she would enjoy a gift that I give her on an anniversary or a birthday or something that I bring to her if she thinks that I'm just doing it out of a sense of duty. She has a sense of duty. I have a sense of duty. But there is a greater sense, a sense of opportunity and privilege that is involved in our relationships. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 122, verse 1. The Ethiopian eunuch, even though he did not at first understand Jesus as the Savior, had traveled miles and miles in a chariot to worship God. Miles and miles in a chariot to worship God. Do we just worship God out of a sense of duty? God seeks us to worship him. There's no doubt about that. John 4, 23 and 24 states that clearly. And as was expressed from the pulpit this morning, one of the reasons that we're interested in obeying God is because God has done so much for us. He could have given up on us. He could have said, let it go, so what? But one of the things involved is that God wants men to worship him. He seeks men to worship him. according to that passage in John 4. But does he want it out of a sense of duty? How many times have you heard someone say, do you think I have to attend every Sunday? Do you think I have to attend every service on Sunday? It just seems to me that when that word, those two words, have to, are included in the sentence, that that's an indication of a problem. Is there any opportunity that we have to worship God and be with God's people and praise His name that we would not want to be there? Certainly we cannot be at every service throughout the universe. We may not even be able to be at every service that's in this building. But is there a time that we worship God that we should not want to be there? Perhaps if we're weary in our worship, it's because we come out of a sense of duty instead of a sense of opportunity. It may also be that we are allowing ourselves to come to worship thinking that we're just a part of an audience. Now there is a sense, and I don't want to overplay this in the other direction, there is a sense in which there is an audience when we're together. A speaker is speaking, or a song leader is leading, or someone is reading. And even in our singing, we're told to teach and admonish one another. There is a sense in which there is that relationship. But in the greater sense of the word, God is the one who is receiving our worship. And every Christian who is here tonight ought to be participating in that worship. And we even ought to be teaching our children, as young as we possibly can, to begin to sing and begin to look at the Bible and begin to bow their heads in prayer and to realize that we are worshiping God. Maybe if worship is boring, it's because we're allowing ourselves to feel like we're on the outside. We're just there as spectators, and somebody else is worshiping God. We are all to worship Him. If you stop and think about the different areas of worship, it's amazing how many times the personal pronoun I is included. Usually we think I is not a good pronoun, but it's I will sing with the Spirit, I will pray with the Spirit. Let a man examine his heart, and so let him take of the Lord's Supper. Give as he has purposed in his heart. Let every man take heed how he hear and what he hears. Emphasis is placed upon the individual. And you know, we tend to be more interested when we're really involved in something. We tend to really put forth more effort if we're out on the court with the basketball team than just sitting on the bench. It may be that one of our problems in the weariness that we sometimes have in worship is that we just think of ourselves as a part of an audience instead of a part of the church, that is, to worship and serve the living God. And then it may be that sometimes we go home from worship services bored and weary because we're more interested in pleasing ourselves than we are in pleasing God. Most of us are familiar with Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. What about verse 22 in that passage? Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. All that's said before we get down to that encouraging one another to attend and attending to encourage one another. In Colossians 2, verse 23, King James Version condemns will worship. Some of the other versions, you may be looking at one now, will translate that in some way to suggest that it's worship in which one wants to please himself. Sometimes I'll hear people say, we ought to do this in worship because I like it, or most of the people like it. If we can do what we like and what most people like and still serve God, that's great. But when we allow ourselves to come to the point that we are more interested in doing what I want and what pleases me than we are what pleases God, our worship may be a time of weariness. But when we get to thinking about how great God is and that we're not interested in will worship, we're interested in worship according to His will. And we want to let Him know how much we appreciate Him and how great He is, and we want to do exactly what He says, and because He's done so much for us, we want to do it as close to the pattern that He's given us as possible. Our worship is going to be more meaningful. And then there is a fifth idea, and this may be the one that really, really hits home to all of us. If our worship is a time of weariness and it's sort of boring, could it be that it is in such a contrast with what we do the rest of the week? Can a person live in immorality through the week and then really be ready to worship God? Can a person be at odds with his brother, even offend his brother and mistreat his brother through the week, and then come to a service like this and be ready to really worship God? Can we go out on Friday night, Saturday night, and be involved in those things that are of the world, which God condemns, and then come together on Sunday and be ready to worship God? And let's go a little further than that. If we do not enjoy singing 6 days a week, will we enjoy it much on the seventh? And if we spend practically no time in prayer 6 days a week, or all the time except that hour that we're in the service, are we going to appreciate and enjoy prayer that much? And if we never open God's Word to read it and we never think about using it in that sense through the week, are we going to really be ready to listen to it read and discussion from it when we're in a service such as this? There was a man in the congregation who sang, and he was supposedly one of the worst singers from the standpoint of music that anyone had ever heard. And some of the members of the congregation got together and they said, you know, he sings so badly that it just disrupts the rest of us, so let's go out and talk to him about it. He was a farmer plowing with his mule. They went out to the field to talk to him and said, brother, we won't talk to you about your singing. It's just disturbing others for you to sing like you are. He said, folks, when I get a song in my heart, there's nothing I can do about it. In fact, I feel one coming on now. Get up, Joel. And he started singing. How in the world are you and I going to be able to come into a service like this and worship God in song if we never have a song in the heart any other time? Pour out our hearts to Him in prayer if we never spend any time in prayer elsewhere in life? And appreciate any lesson that's brought from the Bible if we've never opened the pages the rest of our lives? And appreciate the unity and the oneness and the togetherness and the mutual encouragement that's here if we live as loners and do not treat people right and appreciate their treating us right in all the other aspects of life? There is a sense in which when we're together in a worship service like this, it's something special. And I believe the word worship is used in the Bible in many ways to talk about an assembly like this. But perhaps we will get more from our assemblies if we will put more into our lives, to where there's not such a contrast when we come together to worship from the way we live the rest of the week. I'm sure you could add other ideas to this, maybe even better than what I have. But if our worship times are weary and boring, are we looking for entertainment instead of praising the name of the high God? Are we coming only out of a sense of duty? Are we there just to be a part of an audience and to come and go and leave and never really feel like we're involved? Are we more concerned about pleasing ourselves than we are pleasing God? And is there such a contrast between what we do when we're together in worship and what we do the rest of the time? I think the bottom line of it is we need to learn to live as Christians all the time. Appreciate what God has done for us, love Him, want to worship Him. I don't have any question about whether or not you and I will be here on Sunday morning, Bible study, Sunday night, Wednesday night, any other reasonable time, if we can get our hearts right instead of having that weariness and that boring attitude and think about God and what He means to us and how much we ought to give to Him. That's what worship is about. If you're not a Christian ready to really worship God tonight, you need to do something about it. How can you worship God if you've turned down His will when He's asked you to repent and be baptized for the remission of sin? How can you worship God acceptably if you're living for something else or somebody else during the week and need to repent of sins? Getting ourselves right with God is the first step to being able to really worship God and getting the most from it ourselves. If you don't have that right relationship, come as together we stand and sing.